You're listening to the Fantasy Football Astronauts.
What's up? What's up, everybody? This is your host, Daniel Harms of the Fantasy Football Astronauts podcast. You can find me on Twitter at inharmsway19. And today's show, I want to start off by talking about some things that I was wrong about this season. Usually, you know, lately we start off with some victory laps, but we always have to take a look in the mirror and remind ourselves where we come from. So I was wrong about Baker Mayfield being decent for Christian McCaffrey. Up until last week, he had not been utilized properly. That offensive line is garbage. The offense is garbage. The entire offensive system that they're rolling with is garbage. They have not been able to consistently use one of the most effective and prominent fantasy players in football to his extent and to his ability. So for that, I apologize. I was not correct about Baker Mayfield being good for him. Honestly, being good at all. He has looked awful. I can't wait until Sam Darnold comes back from the IR so we can get something going with that offense. It's funny. It looked way better under Sam Darnold for at least four games last year. DJ Moore was getting the ball more. He was getting catchable footballs. They can't figure out what's going on in Carolina. I can't figure it out. I think that Matt Rhule is going to be fired in the next couple of weeks. Pretty substantial issues going on in Carolina, so I was wrong about that. Also, Dalvin Cook, I had as a possible RB1 overall finisher this season. That has not been the case for good old Dalvin. He's had some issues with that offense. We thought that they would come out and be a pretty decent offense in terms of getting him the ball quickly and even having the targets come up. Those haven't really been there. He's had, what, 5-6 targets, 0 targets against the Lions, 2 targets against the Saints. Like, in games, he's had 17, 20, 20 attempts. He had 6 against Philadelphia, but this has been an abysmal start for Dalvin Cook. 10.8 points, 3.6 points, 13.6 points, 8.6 points. These are all standard. And then obviously, even doesn't get much better when you put him in PPR. It's 13-7, 13-10. Like, it just doesn't get any better for him. He's only scored one touchdown this year. Thought he was in for some touchdown regression, only scoring 4 last year. But we're not seeing that in Dalvin Cook. And the offense for them is really run just through Justin Jefferson. If he's not doing much, the offense kind of stalls. The offensive line, I think, is pretty good, but they can't consistently get anything going in the run game. Alexander Mattison is coming in and doing some work well for the Vikings. But Dalvin Cook also nursing another shoulder injury. He's got that brace on that he wore last year too. So he's not just undurable. He's having trouble getting anything going in this offense. So unless he starts scoring some touchdowns, I think I'm going to be eating my words on thinking that he could be a really good player this year. Honestly, he could have had a good week against the Lions. 17 for 96 and a touchdown, but 0 targets and 0 receptions. That's kind of a problem. Also had a fumble lost. So he's not helping himself out in that regard. I'm hoping that the Vikings realize what's going on, get him the ball a little bit more in space, work to do that, and we can see him come back up. Another player last guy we'll talk about is Christian Kirk. A lot of us made fun of Christian Kirk over the offseason for the contract that he landed with the Jaguars, but let's just understand that they are building a passing offense around him outside of last week. That was just a rain-ridden game. It's hard to really take anything out of it for Christian Kirk and for that offense, especially with the 5 turnovers that they had because of rain and unpreparedness. He only had 2 receptions against the Philadelphia Eagles on 9 targets. But in his 4 games, he has 12 targets, 6 targets, 9 targets, 9 targets. He has yardage totals over 60 yards every single week. You know, 117 the first week. He caught 2 touchdowns against Indianapolis. He caught a touchdown against the Chargers. His utilization is being really what's vaulted him into being one of the better fantasy receivers this year. Currently, wide receiver 10 on the year, and he's helping himself out by continuously getting some of those targets. I think that they're going to bounce back this week. But at the end of the day, he has been one of the better fantasy players this year. I didn't think he would be able to do that, specifically because if you look at the Jaguars offense the last couple of years, they did try to have more of a 2 wide receiver sets. And when he wasn't on the field, you know, we talk a lot about how 11 personnel is the up and coming personnel grouping for NFL teams. But a lot of us, like even myself, I get to it at times, we dog on teams and we talk on players that come off the field on 12 and 13 personnel. But at the end of the day, all that really matters is the utilization. Amon-Ra St. Brown suffered the same problem over the offseason with fantasy people talking about he's going to come off the field too much. He's not going to be able to be productive enough. The problem with that line of thought is that utilization. Both of these teams, the Detroit Lions and the Jacksonville Jaguars, are using their slot receivers in creative ways and building offenses around them. The Lions have built an offense around Amon-Ra St. Brown as well as DeAndre Swift, both being hurt, but they're both explosive playmakers in that offense that set everything up for all the other players. The same is happening with Christian Kirk in Jacksonville. He's being used out of the backfield. He's being used in motion, being used in the slot. They're designing plays for him to get him easy yards in space. So all these things that we've seen for Christian Kirk have been positive. He's done a great job in Jacksonville, earning his contract and really making most of us that made fun of him look like fools. So those are a couple players that I was wrong about leading into week five, and I'm hoping to continue to see them having good seasons and Christian Kirk's cakes, but hopefully everyone else kind of gets up off the schneid here and gets going in week five. Now we get into trust them or bust them, and this is one of my favorite things to do. You guys know last season I did a video on the Fantasy Football Astronauts YouTube page. We're working, trying to get the YouTube page back up, but they had some issues with copyright, so we're in the process there. But quarterbacks, okay? Jared Goff had 33.22 points. He's currently the quarterback five on the season. Can you believe that? The quarterback five, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, Jared Goff right there with 88.64 points across the first four games of the season, averaging 22.2 points a game, and had an absolute blow-up against a bad defense. Really, that game was full of bad defense. The Lions are the worst defense in football. The Seahawks can't be far behind them. And Jared Goff lit him up without DeAndre Swift, without Amon-Ra St. Brown, throwing to Josh Reynolds, Khalif Raymond, just a bunch of... I mean, TJ Hockenson was there. He had a really good game. They utilized him a lot all over the field. So props to Jared Goff coming back from the dead. This is a weird year for fantasy quarterbacks. Just three guys in the top 10 that I can name that none of us thought were going to. Carson Wentz, quarterback 10. Geno Smith, quarterback 9. And then we have Jared Goff, quarterback 5. This is a very interesting season. I don't think it's going to continue that way, but this is also a sign that the Detroit Lions offense is for real. This is not just a flash in the pan because they have DeAndre Swift and they have Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's collectively, and I know that it was bad defense, but they're utilizing players well. This is a creative offense that Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell have created. People really don't understand how much Dan Campbell was in New Orleans, soaking up like a sponge everything that Saints coaching staff, everybody there was doing. He was just soaking it all in, and now we're seeing it come to fruition. He brings in Ben Johnson. That offense is very creative. They know what they're doing, and it's showing up in the fantasy stats. So really, this is a perfect situation if you have Jared Goff, if you have Detroit Lions players. They have the worst defense in football, so you guess what? They're going to have to score every single week. This could be a season where Jared Goff finishes top 10. I think no matter what, you have to trust him going forward. This is a kind of team that they're going to keep getting players back. They're going to be good. This offense is going to be a lot of fun to watch week in and week out because they're going to be either up in games and they're going to lose that lead, or they're going to be down and have to throw their way back in. I'm excited to see what they do because, again, Jared Goff, 33 points, that could really help everybody out, especially in DFS plays, still not being recognized as one of the better plays. Every single week, you might have to be playing someone like Jared Goff. On the opposite end of that, Matthew Stafford, former Detroit Lion, funny enough, had 6.76 points last week. This is one of those, well, you guys are reigning Super Bowl champions, right? We all know that that kind of thing happens, and the problem becomes LA has a very big issue with their offensive line. They have a poor run game. They lost, OBJ. He's gone. They have a problem with their current offense. It runs through one guy, Cooper Kupp, but Allen Robinson signed a big contract. He is not performing. You've got a bunch of guys, obviously Tyler Higbee has become a thing. So it's very interesting to seeing what's going on with their offensive line issues, injuries. Their run game is gone, and Matthew Stafford is suffering because of it. And again, people want to think that Matthew Stafford's a bad quarterback, and if he didn't have, Cooper Kupp, that it would be bad. But the fact of the matter is this offensive line is porous. It's atrocious. It has injuries week after week after week. And when you continue to front the bill with your draft picks, you can't invest in your offensive line. So we're seeing, much like the New Orleans Saints offense is paying for the decisions that they made over the offseason, not taking a rebuild, The LA Rams are feeling a lot of the same problems, and it's going to be a problem if they can't figure out how to get that offensive line going forward. Honestly, if I have Matthew Stafford in most of my redraft leagues, if I don't have a second quarterback, I'm looking for one, because you can't trust Matthew Stafford to go week in and week out to get you 20 plus points because the offense is not good right now, and they have to find a way again to protect him, to keep him upright, to be able to get him to throw the ball. You're going to have chances with Cooper Kupp, but they got to find ways to get Allen Robinson more involved. Tyler Higbee has been a surprise in terms of his target production. They can work on that, but unless they get this offensive line figured out, he's going to be somebody that I'm not really looking to play very much as the season continues on. Over to the running back section, we have Josh Jacobs, 34.5 points for the Las Vegas Raiders. This was not a game I expected. I didn't expect them to rush the ball 28 times against the Denver Broncos. This is a very weird week. I tell you what, a bunch of people going off and not having days that we all thought would. 34.5 points from Josh Jacobs. We looked below him, Miles Sanders, 29.6. Like, this was an insane game for both of these two guys. Josh Jacobs did a really nice job of taking advantage of his opportunities. Also scored two touchdowns, added six targets onto that. That's something we should be paying attention to, by the way, in Las Vegas. It looks like Josh McDaniels has figured out that he doesn't have to have a running back by committee. He has a very good running back in Josh Jacobs, and you can actually use him as the bell cow and someone to get the ball to in the passing game. So keep going with that. They have the Chiefs coming up, who, funny enough, are one of the best run defenses in the NFL. It's a little skewed by the game against Tampa Bay last week. But even before that, they were sixth against the rush per DVOA in the NFL. So something to monitor this game. I still think you have to play him because he's going to get the touches, going to get targets. So no matter what, you're looking for Josh Jacobs to still get you close to that 15, 18, 20 point marker, especially because I do expect them to be down in this game to the Chiefs and have to throw it. So you could see Josh Jacobs try to attack the linebackers, which is a typically and historically issue in terms of protection against tight ends and running backs on that defense. So regardless, you're starting Josh Jacobs, you're playing him, and you're looking for more of this same result. Average at 5.1 yards on 28 carries for 144 yards. That's an impressive day against what I thought was one of the better defenses in the NFL and the Denver Broncos. So yeah, you got Josh Jacobs, you are starting him regardless. Now, a guy who was such a good, fun, feel-good event for the NFL season. He comes off an injury. He explodes onto the scene in a creative offense that we talked a little bit about in Jacksonville. And James Robinson has been really, really good this year. But when you look at the game against the Philadelphia Eagles, this was an unfortunate game for their entire offense. No, nothing was really going right. They couldn't get the ball rolling. They only had, you know, James Robinson had 8 carries, 29 yards. They didn't really get the run game going. They couldn't get anything else off the ground. They started off fast at the pick 6, and then they got another touchdown and went up 14-0. After that, they couldn't really figure their offense out. Philadelphia did a good job of clamping everything down and shutting that offense down, and Robinson was one of the sufferers because of that in that loss. I don't expect this to carry over, especially because I do think that offensive line is pretty good, and they've done a good job of surrounding them with an offense that's creative, and you can take some of the pressure off of their running backs. So when you look at the fact of the matter is, week 5, they played the Houston Texans, one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. You got James Robinson, you should be playing him. You can probably play him as an RB2. I think he'll probably score at least a touchdown in this game. He could have upwards of 15 rushes. He could easily get you to that mark of 20 points plus, and that's what we're looking for. I think James Robinson is still a play. You have him. No matter what, going against the Houston Texans defense, you should play him. Wide receiver, DK Metcalf actually got there without scoring a touchdown, 21.9 points against the Detroit Lions. This was one of the games that, honestly, I missed on. I thought I faded DK in favor of Tyler Lockett. I figured they would be willing to do more of the shorter passing game, and they've turned Tyler Lockett into a really nice complementary piece to the offense. He's a deep threat, we know, but they've used him in that short and intermediate part to get him into some yak situations. So I really like what they're doing in the offense with Geno Smith and the running game and Tyler Lockett. And then they added DK Metcalf to it this week. He had 10 targets down the field too. He had 7 receptions and he had 149 yards. like I said, zero touchdowns, but that's what you're looking for. You're looking for him to get the ball down the field. And again, his yards per target were 14.9. This is the kind of thing we're looking for with DK Metcalf, because he's not going to be the Tyler Lockett. That's why they complement each other so well, especially in this offense where they're using Tyler Lockett more as that yak player and the possession guy, while also being able to take the top off. On the opposite side, you have DK, who is a big physical player that can dominate defenses. He was shut out early in a couple of these games by good corners, and I had thought Jeff Okuda would have a much better game, that the Lions would maybe kind of shade him, and it didn't really matter. It didn't matter who was there on that side. DK was having his way. The entire Seattle Seahawks offense was having their way with the terrible defense in Detroit. So a good job on DK. He's somebody that I'm very interested in going forward, because again, he's been up and down this season, having, you know, some really bad games to start. Only 8.6, 7.5. And then the last 2 weeks, we've seen 17.5, 21.9. And this is an interesting one for me going into week 5, because they play the New Orleans Saints, all right? Marshawn Lattimore has been known to shut down bigger physical receivers. So if they match him up against Marshawn Lattimore, I'm not sure that I'm ready to play him as a wide receiver too, but I think you have a flex option if you have DK Metcalf. You're going to play him because the offense right now is really clicking in Seattle, and I think that not only is it just the offense, it's Geno fucking Smith being an efficiency monster and on target. He doesn't throw bad balls. He's just doing everything right now. So I think you can play DK Metcalf as a wide receiver 3 confidently going forward. On the opposite end of that, a guy who I thought was going to be closer to a top 12 receiver this year, Deontay Johnson, 4.2 points against the vaunted New York Jets defense. Obviously, that's saying with a bit of grain of salt, because the Jets defense isn't that great. The Pittsburgh Steelers offense was just so inept. And then when Kenny Pickett came in, it made sense that he was going to his guy, George Pickens. You want to know why? As the backup to Mitch Trubisky, he played more with the backups initially. When Pickens was drafted, he was a backup. He wasn't a starter right away. So they got some chemistry down and built in the training camp, and a lot of those in the offseason as well. They were playing with each other, they were throwing balls like that. So it made sense that most of his targets, when he comes into a game at halftime, he's going to a guy he's already comfortable with throwing the football, a rookie as well. It made sense to me. So we'll see how the script and how the game script goes for Deontay Johnson going forward. I think that we all understand that targets are earned in offenses, and Deontay Johnson's not a guy who's going to be in the shadow of a rookie very long. Again, 4.2 points this past week, only had 2 receptions on 4 targets, only targeted 4 times. That's going to change. It would look at the weeks before: 12 targets, 10 targets, 11 targets. He's going to have more in this following week matchup against the Bills, especially because they're going to be down. They're going to have to throw the ball and get Deontay Johnson the football in space. I think you can trust him going forward. I'm hoping this is the week that he has the over 20-point game, because up until now, it's been 12.5, 13.7, 16.4. They're trying to find ways to get him the football. They just haven't done a good job of getting him in space. This offense is pretty inept. Matt Canada is one of the worst offensive designers and play callers in the NFL. I think that hopefully Kenny Pickett can take some more chances. That's one thing that Mitch Trubisky didn't really do. Yeah, he was throwing goal balls, but he wasn't really throwing them accurately or taking chances into windows. That's something that Kenny Pickett's going to do, at least to an extent, when he comes in now. Now he's a starter. There's no going back. You can't go back to Mitch Trubisky now. It's Kenny Pickett's ride the rest of the way. And I do think that Deontay Johnson, regardless, as more of a wide receiver 3 right now, until we see the offense start to get him the ball in space to get him some touchdowns, because he has not scored one this year. So yeah, I still think you can trust him to an extent, but we're not talking about a 20-plus point performance, because I just don't know if you can really trust him to that extent, especially with that offense. Now, we can kind of talk a little bit about tight ends. The last 2 weeks, we've done nothing but shit on tight ends, but I'm going to take the opposite approach this week, because last week in week 4 was fun for some tight ends. Leading off this area, T.J. Hockenson, somebody who has been more of a disappointment this year, and everyone kind of, you know, didn't really want him anyway because no one wanted any of the Detroit Lions offense. But first 2 weeks, 7.8, 5.6 points. Then he goes a little bit higher with 10.8. And then he just absolutely unloads on the Seattle Seahawks. 12 targets, 8 receptions, 179 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He had an 81-yard reception in this game. yards per reception, 22.4. This is the kind of game that you expect when everyone's out in a creative offense. So yes, I loved seeing TJ Hockenson get that target share. He's not going to get it every single week, but he should be garnering 7 to 8 targets per week when everyone's healthy regardless. Because while I think that he might not be the most talented, I think he's a very he's a very good player. I think this shows you that when players are out, you have like Khalif Raymond, Josh Reynolds, and Jamal Williams are the guys that are leading the crew on offense, and he led them in every target and everything possible. So I think even with Amon-Ra St. Brown possibly coming back this week, if he doesn't, he probably is in line for another big week regardless against New England. But they've been bottom five against tight ends through the first 3 weeks of the season. So we're looking at a possibility for TJ Hockenson to again have a huge another week, maybe not 39.9 points, but we're talking 20 plus. So I think you can trust him regardless. I do think that they're understanding that they do need to get him the ball more, especially when Amon-Ra comes back. He's going to get some defensive gravity on that side of the football from whatever defense it is. So TJ Hockenson should be able to step in there and garner some more targets and be more effective. So yes, he is a trust for me going forward. We're not even going to go on the opposite end of that because that's no fun. We're just going to talk about another guy who had a great day in fantasy circles. Mo Alie-Cox, one of the guys 2 years ago I thought would have a really good season, a really good career as a tight end. But the whole tight end situation in Indy is muddied. Kyle Granson, they drafted a rookie, Jelani Woods. They have Mo Alie-Cox. What's going on in Indianapolis? This offense is inept and it's not easy to figure out who's going to score touchdowns, who's going to get targets week to week. But thank you, Mo Alie, having 4 targets, 4 receptions, 85 yards, and 2 touchdowns. You have 26.5 point performance. Those guys were tight end 1 and tight end 2s on the week. 3 was Travis Kelce. So Mo Alie-Cox having a really nice game. This is more of just a nice story for a week. Next week, they play Thursday Night Football against the Broncos. I don't expect him to be very good, if at all. I don't even expect him to score a touchdown in this game. Honestly, this is probably Kyle Granson's week because Jelani Woods scored touchdowns 2 weeks ago, and then this time it was Mo Alie-Cox. Next week is probably Kyle Granson. Who fucking knows what's going on in Indy? So, yeah, I'm probably out on him. You can't trust anybody on the Indianapolis Colts offense. Not even Jonathan Taylor to an extent right now. Caveat. Michael Pittman's going to get his. He's always going to get his. And he almost barely got his last week. So I'm hoping they figure that and fix that out because Pat Surtain is very, very good. They're going to have to do a better job of getting Michael Pittman the ball in Indianapolis on Thursday night. But yeah, you can't trust any of these guys except for Michael Pittman on a week-to-week basis. And Indy, it was just a fun story. All right, now, point totals. On to week 5. We're going to talk a little bit about some of these games, these big point totals. And off the top, Tampa Bay versus Atlanta. Why is this an interesting game, you say? Why is this going to be full of fantasy points? Well, let me tell you. There's a 48-point total in this game. Yes, Tampa Bay should put up points. They should get back to that running game. They should be able to do whatever they want to because Atlanta's defense is garbage. But an interesting storyline in this game. Atlanta did not throw the ball very much last week, even before Marcus Mariota threw that pick. Why is that? This is the whole Brian Windhorst. Why is that? In my opinion, Marcus Mariota has not lived up to real expectations. He's been a pretty good fantasy quarterback in terms of what he's done on the season for them, but he's not been able to really win games. He's not one of the reasons that they have won games. Last week, it was because they ran the ball down Cleveland's throat. It was just an absurdity to watch. They took advantage of the biggest weakness in Cleveland's defense. Obviously, you also had Myles Garrett out. They had Jadeveon Clowney out. It was so just taking advantage of what you have there. And they were able to do a good job of that. Marcus Mariota's been a decent fantasy quarterback. 19, 13, 15, and then we have 3 points last week. I think that there's a good chance that if Mariota has another bad week against a defense that's going to be looking to come out strong after they got destroyed by the Chiefs last week, you might see Desmond Ridder this week. Now, what does this mean for fantasy? Well, I think Desmond Ridder brings more actual good quarterback play to the position. that could mean that Kyle Pitts and Drake London's floors get raised immediately by the emergence of Desmond Ridder. Does that mean that he's going to have snaps this week, that he's going to be able to come in at, say, halftime like Kenny Pickett did last week and be able to be successful? I don't think so, but the fact of the matter is that he could be throwing the ball all over the yard. Watch for Ridder to play in this game, even a little bit, because I do think that we're starting to see some of the leaves on the are writing on the wall for Marcus Mariota not being the starting quarterback in Atlanta for very much going forward. Like I said, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are really looking to establish their running game. They ran the ball three or six times last week. They were down immediately to the Chiefs. So they just got rid of the running game. The offensive line wasn't doing much. So they decided to throw the ball over the yard, and Tom Brady did a very good job of that. They were able to start putting points on the board. Whenever KC went up by three scores, they would score a touchdown. That's kind of how it worked. I do expect this to be a game where Tampa Bay wants to score 40 points. So that's why we're seeing a point total of 48 at least. I think that this could end up being a 50-point total game because Tampa Bay is looking to make a statement. They have to. This is much like what happened to the Chiefs against the Colts. They got bullied up front on both sides of the ball by the Indianapolis Colts and by a team that's not good. So they're going to come out looking to really establish the running game. I think Atlanta should be throwing the ball a lot. I do think you still have to play Kyle Pitts and Drake London this week if you have them. It's not fun to talk about. Kyle Pitts is being underutilized. He's being improperly utilized. And I don't think that Marcus Mariota is the guy that's going to be able to get him fantasy relevant. I would love to see Desmond Ridder in this game even a little bit because I do think he raises the passing floor of this offense. It's very unique, the running style, the running game. They're using a ton of different running schemes, pin pull. They're using pullers. They're using traps, all that kind of fun stuff. They're still using their outside zone properly to their advantage. They're doing a lot of fun things on offense in Atlanta in the running game. The problem is that they don't have the quarterback to execute a well-developed passing game built off of a running game that's successful. So I'm hoping they can do the same things that they did last week in the run game and build a little bit more play action off of that. So this point total, I think, does stay. It probably gets a little bit over that because I think Tampa Bay is going to score a lot of points in this game. They want to score a lot of points. So if you have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Leonard Fournette, Tom Brady, even Cameron Brate to an extent if he's healthy for this game. If not, I think Cade Otton is a sneaky tight end play this week if you don't see Cameron Brate go. Just watch for that because he was getting targeted last week. And again, this offense, you should want parts of this week, especially in DFS. So again, look for that side of the ball specifically. And if you have the two guys in Atlanta, London, and Pitts, you're probably going to play them anyway. Over to Arizona and Philadelphia. This is a 49-point total game. And this is a lot of fun. We talked a bit about Philadelphia last week, and because we talked about the Jags-Philadelphia game, this offense right now is humming. They have one of the best offenses in the league, if not the best. They're definitely the most versatile in terms of what they can do to you week in and week out. And we've seen the passing offense blow up over the course of the first three weeks, and then in week four, they come in, they were trying to throw the ball, they got picked off, then they decided to change it up. They did a really great job of identifying where they could be successful. Miles Sanders, everybody. They have one of the best offensive lines in football. By the way, if you didn't know, they're so multiple. They can run, they can pass, they can do whatever they want to. Miles Sanders is becoming, all right? He is becoming the prince that was promised. 18.5 week one, 11.6. He had a 5.4 against Washington. 29.6 points against Jacksonville Jaguars. He is being the number one back. And Kenny Gainwell, I thought, was going to have a good season this year, was going to be able to cut into that thing. But no, Miles Sanders has taken over. He's using this offensive line. They're using this scheme based off of what they've been doing in the passing game to run a lot of these exotic rush looks. And being able to have a guy like Jason Kelce as your center, he's so athletic and he allows them to do so many different things in their run game. They can pull him. They can pin pull. They can run counter. They run counter very, very well. And in Philadelphia, having Lane Johnson, who hasn't allowed a sack since the week 7 of last year, I think, has been awesome as well. This is just one of the best offensive lines of football. And when you have players like Miles Sanders, who most people undervalued this year, much like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Clyde's been one of the most efficient running backs in football, in fantasy football, that is. We'll see how long that lasts. But Miles Sanders has had games, you know, 13, 17, 15 carries, and then 27 last week. That tells you that they just flipped the script, and they can do that whenever they want to. When they identify where they want to actually attack, whether it's through the air or it's on the ground, the Eagles can do that. If you have any parts of the Eagles offense, even Dallas Goedert to an extent, you're using them. AJ Brown has pretty much been exactly what I thought he would be. Wide receiver 9 on the season, wide receiver 10 points per game. Again, he was wide receiver 9 this offseason. I did think you were drafting him at his ceiling in terms of overall ability, because the offense, it's going to be good some weeks, and then some weeks he's just not going to be involved very much. It's going to depend on what's going on. But AJ Brown's still one of the best players in football, period. I think that that's very obvious. Touchdowns this year, only scored 1. So that's interesting. So he could actually start to explode over the next couple of weeks. Definitely something I'm looking for against this Arizona pass defense. Atrocious. Look for AJ Brown to score a touchdown this week. I do think they want to flip the script, go from running to throwing again. Devontae Smith, AJ Brown are plays for me. Miles Sanders still is obviously Jalen Hurts. 100% you play him. One of the best offenses in the NFL. That offensive line is ridiculous, and it's allowing them to do whatever they want to. Hat tip to Nick Sirianni for in just evolving this offense to do whatever they want to do. Become one of the best head coaches and young play callers, designers in the NFL. On the opposite side of this game, Arizona is kind of all over the place. I don't really know what to do with this team. It's a lot of difficulty trying to navigate what they're going to do, but there's only a couple of players that are consistent. James Conner has not been consistent. A lot of it has to do with the fact that the offensive line hasn't been consistent either. They've been unable to generate much in terms of push. James Conner isn't getting the touchdowns either, so we're having some problems in that regard. He's just being underutilized, but again, the offense hasn't been great. He's currently RB28 on the season, so we've got a lot of work to go, but he did start off the season slow last year, and then he was able to show up later. The first game was a good one. In the game, they were down. Again, he did score a touchdown in that game, only had 10 carries. 7 carries the next week, 13 carries the week after that, only 15 carries against Carolina. So you have to remember, even the Chiefs, the Rams, the Panthers all have pretty decent run defenses, but he's not averaging enough points on the ground. You know, 2.6 yards per attempt, 3.6, 3.7, and the receptions, 5, 2, 3, 3. So the targets aren't there like you want them to be either. The touchdowns, 1 in week 1 and none since then. So he needs to start picking it up if he's going to be a fantasy relevant guy. The one, there's two guys on this offense that you were looking at. It's Marquise Brown and it's Zach Ertz. Those are the two guys that are getting the most targets. And honestly, Brown has been more reliable over the last couple of weeks. He's got 11 or more targets since week 2, and that's what you're looking for. You want those target shares. You want him to scoring. He's scoring a ton of points lately, and he's really showing that chemistry with Kyler Murray that we all thought. And Marquise Brown currently is wide receiver 6 on the season, and he is wide receiver 8 in points per game. That's exactly the kind of wide receiver 1 upside that we thought we could have. They thought he could have with Kyler Murray. So that's good to see coming to fruition. They're doing a good job there getting the ball. Zach Ertz he's just been so consistent. I don't really know what else you can say. A guy who was almost dust a few years ago, currently tied in 4 in the season, games of 11, 15, 10, and 16. With that kind of consistency at the tight end position, it allows you to have some real usage for your tight end, and he's somebody you have to play every single week because he's going to get those targets. And again, against Philadelphia, in a game where I expect them to be attempting to throw the ball to stay in it, you could see another week where he has 10 or more targets like he did against the Raiders or the Rams. He's got that kind of target upside in this offense with the way it is. I know Rondell Moore is back. They're going to work him back in. He's somebody that I'm intrigued by, but I can't start him until I see the usage properly. He's still not somebody that I can start every single week and be confident in. So James Conner is like a more of an RB3 for me right now. I think that he could have an RB2 week. It's just I need to see him get in the end zone, but there's just not a whole lot in Arizona. Even Kyler, to an extent, is kind of he's more of a QB2 for me. He's not a QB1 every single week. So it's tough with that team. I do expect Philly to win, but this could be a high-scoring affair regardless, because at the end of the day, Kyler still is a very talented quarterback, and he has a really good connection with Zach Ertz and Marquise Brown that they could end up hitting on a couple touchdowns and make this game closer than it really looks while you're watching. The last game we're going to talk about, Monday Night Football. Raiders, Chiefs. 51 point total. This is one of those games, man. It's in Kansas City. The Kansas City started their season out with 3 away games. They're now 3-1, and that game against Tampa Bay opened up a lot of people's eyes to what this offense should be. Okay, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is having one his best season in terms of fantasy production. That's how good he's been, and I think that it's, while there's some smoke and mirrors to it, last week was what you're looking for. He was everything that I wanted him to be. And I know that he was still going back and forth with touches with Isaiah Pacheco. But he, at the end of the day, when it came down to it, he was getting the rushes at the end of the game to salt it away. 19 carries for 92 yards. He did have that touchdown. He caught one of his targets. I don't want to talk about the drop that he had on two targets. But, you know, scored a touchdown there. He has been a very big surprise for a lot of people. You know, 22 points week one, 15 week two, 14 week three, and 22.5 last week. The big thing is he's scoring touchdowns. One, two, three, four, five touchdowns on the season. That's what's going to do it for you. And even in the game that he didn't score a touchdown against the Chargers, he had eight carries for 74 yards, and he had 4 receptions on 4 targets. He's been such an efficient pass catcher. Only one drop this season. And that was the one against Tampa Bay. His resurgence this year has been a lot due to the fact that they're utilizing him properly a little bit more in the passing game. I'm hoping to see that rebound, because Tampa Bay, I understand them not getting the ball against Tampa Bay with Devin White and the linebackers that they have there. You don't really want to test them with their speed sideline to sideline. So it makes sense not to do that to an extent. But he's going to be continually evolving in this offense. I think we're seeing the offensive line right now being one of establishing itself in the run game. I think they might see that every single week. And if he gets more double-digit carries, which I think he will going forward, he's going to continue to grind out some production. So while I don't think he's going to have this type of RB4 upside every single week, he's going to be someone you can count on. And we know Travis Kelce in this offense is who you want. Juju's been inconsistent. The wide receivers have not been good for fantasy production. It's been Clyde. It's been Patrick. It's been Travis Kelce, the guys that you want. But I do think they're going to score some touchdowns coming up. Again, the Raiders, I think you can see MVS score a touchdown. They're starting to really look at that. It's funny that I think the only wide receiver who scored a touchdown is Justin Watson, funny enough, who was the 5th receiver on this team. So you're going to see more Sky Moore. Watch that. He's going to continue to get more touches, more opportunities in that offense. And Mecole Hardman's hurt right now. I mean, Mecole Hardman is Mecole Hardman, so that is what it is. I was wrong about him, too. I thought he was going to have a good year, and he has not been having a decent year at all. Been kind of a disappointment, so we know Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. He destroys the Raiders on a yearly basis. He puts up points for them. So regardless, you're not sitting these guys. You're not sitting Clyde. You're not sitting Travis. You're not sitting Mahomes. You're probably sitting some of the receivers. MVS, it's hard to know. If you have Juju, you're probably starting him because he is getting targets at least. So yeah, that's what we're looking on that side. On the Raiders side of the football, we talked about Josh Jacobs. Start him regardless, no matter what. Darren Waller, like I said, tight ends have historically beaten the Chiefs pretty well, especially in fantasy points. The linebacker position has never been a huge strength. They are without their best coverage linebacker in Willie Gay. So that's something you definitely want to play. I do think you're going to see them throwing the ball a lot in a game where they're down. And you're not sitting Devontae Adams, especially after he went off against, he still had a good day against Pat Surtain. The Chiefs don't have a number one corner that can do that. Unless they just commit like a safety and a corner to him, he might have a slow day. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you're still playing him. And with the passing volume, you can probably get away with having Matt Collins, wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5. That's probably what you're looking at in terms of this game. But, again, a 51-point total, I think it can get there. It can exceed that if the Raiders come out and play like they did against the Broncos. This could be a shootout. Much, maybe not exactly like it was last week against the Lions and the Seahawks, but close to it, I think could be a lot of fun. There's always the opportunity, there's always the chance that the Chiefs do what they did last year and just blow them out in both games. That is always a possibility. So be wary. I would still start these players. I wouldn't tell you to do something that I wouldn't do myself. And with that, we've come to a close. Thank you guys for being here and listening in. If you guys have any questions, hit me up on the Discord. If you need the Fantasy Football Astronauts Discord, reach out to me on Twitter at InHarmsWay19 or Jetpack at JetpackGalileo on Twitter. We'll get you guys the links for that so you can join the Discord. We have tons of different things we do in there. We put film, we answer questions, all that fun stuff. So again, if you guys have any questions, make sure to hit us on Twitter or in the Discord. We will see you guys next time. This is Daniel Harms, Fantasy Football Astronauts. We are blasting off again.